The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello, hello, and welcome! We are so glad to have you here today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We are your hosts, Misty Young and Sherry Carey Baum.
Hello, hello.
We're coming to you today from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or anywhere in the world, any time of day, on the podcast. And we are actually broadcasting from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. We like to say it's about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and truly the nicest people you'll ever meet. This is the place where the mountains and the old-growth redwoods meet the sea. Harbor and Brookings is home to me and to Sherry Carey Baum.
Yes.
And as usual, we're going to talk about nutrition today. But before we do, I'd like to give a big thank you and a shout out to the entire production crew behind the scenes here at KCIW, especially during these days of continued quarantine when the studio is not open. And we are literally coming to you from a bedroom.
Hey, wait a minute. It's a workout room.
All right. It's a workout room that has been repurposed.
Yes.
But this crew of folks has been so amazing, putting up with us, learning how to use new equipment submitting materials to them and making it sound good and ready to bring to our listeners. And what we like to talk about here is nutrition. Now, Sherry happens to be a medical professional. She is a scientist. She holds a Master's of Science in Nursing from San Diego State University, and she is a nurse for decades, a family nurse practitioner in the past, right?
And midwife,
a certified nurse midwife, right?
A lot of years.
A registered nurse.
Years.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, that's a lot
of stuff. Yeah, 35.
35 years. That's amazing.
Getting older.
Now, you also hold a certificate from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies at eCornell.
Yep.
And you're currently studying for board certification from the American College of Lifestyle Medicine in plant-based nutrition?
Actually, it includes everything. Plant-based nutrition, exercise, caring for yourself. It's a really nice program.
Oh, I love it. It's really a holistic program then.
Absolutely. And it's taking care of your body and your soul. There's meditation included too, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Really trying to look at each individual as a whole person rather than as a disease.
That's fantastic.
Great program.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Now, it's funny because I hold a plant-based nutrition certificate also from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. But there is no way that my tiny little single certificate and my very huge giant interest in nutrition does not hold a candle.
Oh, no.
To the amount of information that I gain when I'm learning from you.
Oh, you're so kind. I learn from you, too. It's such a fun learning process. There's so much information. Making your way through it and figuring out how to incorporate it into your daily life, I think that's what it's all about. I honestly do.
I'm so excited to hear that. Well, today, and thank you for that introduction and the discussion today, Sherry, I'm always amazed when I have a chance to visit with you, because as I said, you know, my knowledge and my extreme thirst for knowledge doesn't hold a candle to your experience and the amount of time you have spent serving people and learning. And before we actually get into the topic today, because we're going to talk about fives today.
Yay, I love fives.
I love fives
got
too.
Five fingers.
Yeah, that's
five
right.
Toes,
that's right.
Toes.
I'd love it if you would share a little bit about, you know, you just talked about the American College of Lifestyle Medicine and the board certification you're going for. Why is it important to have a holistic approach? I mean, for somebody who might be listening, who might have a problem with exercise,
yeah,
right? And I'm kind of pointing at myself. I mean, I you know, I'm going to rat myself out.
Oh, no.
Here
usually
comes the
you
ratting.
Rat out Gary.
I know, I usually do. I struggle and it's making me so mad because I struggle.
Yeah.
I eat so healthy. You can't believe how healthy I eat. I eat whole food, plant-based. I prepare
Wonderful.
My own foods And I want to tell you that I love exercise like you do. I know you love exercise.
I do love exercise.
But I don't love it.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
You know, I might have to admit, I probably don't love exercise. What I love is how I feel after I do it.
That helps me a lot.
It just makes all the difference in the world. It releases all that pent-up negative energy that sometimes we get. Because right now, I mean, let's all be honest, we're being bombarded by negativity right now. And what it does is it helps me to relax physically as well as mentally. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And what I have learned, you know, I kind of messed up my foot.
Yes.
And I was pouting and I've been a tad bit cranky.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry I've been cranky. But because I've missed the routine of exercising, I've missed that outlet, that release. And remember, when you're starting a new exercise program, really to create a habit takes about 6 weeks. And then once you have that habit and you don't follow it, you feel disjointed.
Yeah.
Like right now I'm struggling because usually I hike or walk or half run 3 to 4 miles most
days. Every day, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only an hour and a few minutes,
yeah.
Right? Because it sounds like so much, but it's not. And you work your way up to it. Or you could even do 15 times 4.
So breaking it up.
Walk.
Yes.
4 times throughout the day. But just having that routine of my body's used to exercise, my brain is used to exercise, and suddenly you lose it, you really do get kind of disjointed and out of sorts, if that makes sense.
So it does.
If you want to have a regular exercise routine that you really enjoy and that your body appreciates and that you kind of depend on,
yeah,
you have to do it for a period of time
right.
So that it becomes habit. Just like breaking the sugar habit.
Yes.
Right? We know that when you have sugar every single day, you want it at that same time or you feel uncomfortable or you might even be lethargic
right.
or headachy. It's the same thing. Your body is expecting this treat that you promise it every day.
Right. You promise it by saying, I'm going to do it. And I can see the parallel between getting cranky and frustrated when your body is expecting the treat that you give it every day, the treat that is movement and
Absolutely.
Motion and exercise.
And that release, because if you think about it, it's a way of releasing toxins too,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because your sweat glands are working and your brain is working. When you're exercising, your brain is thinking. It's almost like sleeping in a sense, where your brain is working out problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so by exercising and moving, it's very routine. It can be very boring. And your mind starts to think. And you'll be surprised how many times you come up with a solution to a problem.
Nice.
Or I also think people who are grieving for whatever reason,
yep.
to walk with somebody and talk and to allow yourself to flow with the conversation and really be honest and sharing with somebody, I think that's so special.
Yeah.
I really do. I think exercise and emotions go hand in hand.
That is incredibly intuitive that exercise and emotions go hand in hand. And I love that we started this program by kind of acknowledging that everyone's under assault right now from the coronavirus, from the pandemic. And then you add into it the civil injustices
unrest.
That have happened over the decades, the centuries really in America and worldwide. You know, this is
right.
not the only country that has had racial injustice and civil injustice for years and years. The world has participated in this ugliness.
Absolutely.
And now here we are in 2020 facing it and having to kind of come to a place of saying, now what?
Right.
Right? Now what?
How
what
do we,
do?
Yeah. Where do we go forward? How do we
right.
fix it?
Yes.
It's pretty overwhelming.
Well, when I think about that, and then I add into what you just said, that emotions and exercise relate to each other. I think I butchered what you said, but it was essentially that exercise
right.
and emotions
go hand in hand.
Go hand in hand. Yeah. I have to try that because I got to tell you, I've been down. I've been in the dumps. I can't even call friends. I can't get on the phone. I can't talk to people. I'm like, I'm freaked out.
It's just like a dark cloud following you around. I always think of Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore.
Eeyore, yeah.
Oh, that's how I've been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, we were all so excited to go play after coronavirus. The restrictions were starting to be lifted and we were just so You know, like, yeah. It's a good world. I'm right. ready to get out there right. and play. And now...
The news is there's more coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is starting to get overwhelming. But my advice is keep exercising. You got to keep exercising. And we know that the amount... It used to be we were taught when we looked at exercise that if you just exercised enough, you could be skinny. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You're exercising for your body to function its best, mm-hmm. to pump the blood around, to decrease your blood pressure, to make your heart work really well, to keep your brain active, to get that blood to all those organs, to keep those muscles moving. Mm-hmm. You'll burn some calories, but not the amount that you think you will. Mm-hmm. And as you've said, you can't outrun your fork.
Right. Oh my gosh.
You can try to outrun your fork. Yeah. You better run a lot and fast.
Better run. Yeah.
You know, the example is again, 325 calories for a 3.5 mile walk.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I don't want people to think you shouldn't exercise. You have to exercise for your mental health and for your physical body. Incorporate it. But I guess what I'm saying is if we don't exercise, we're going to have so many other complications. Don't beat yourself up that you're just not exercising enough or you're going to lose weight.
You know what? I saw something yesterday. It might have just been last night. And it said, don't think of exercise as punishment for what you ate. Think about it as glory for the ability of your body. Something like that.
Right. And for your psyche. For yeah. you to get out of a funk so that you're Tigger instead of Eeyore.
Nice. And I love Tigger.
Me too. I'm a Tigger girl.
I'm a Tigger girl.
If actually, I'm a Winnie the Pooh girl. Oh. So if you don't know what we're talking about to the radio audience.
boing, boing, boing.
Tigger had all the energy in the world. Eeyore was a pretty gray, depressed little donkey.
He was. I never liked Eeyore. He always used to bug me. I mean, I went, well, poor me. I guess everything's just kind of a drag, you know?
Yep, yeah.
And I feel like I'm being Eeyore today, and I don't mean to be Eeyore. And to our listeners, what I would say to you is, when you're struggling, when you're having difficulty, ask questions, right? Yeah. Ask questions. I mean, I happen to be able to stand here with my friend and my colleague and my co-host here and talk about questions that she has answers to and to be able to hear those answers. And I'm kind of asking those questions on your behalf too, to our listeners, right? Yeah. I'm asking the questions on behalf of the listener because I'm not the only person who struggles.
Right.
And I may have only 15 pounds left to lose to get to where I want to be, but freaking 15 pounds feels like a lot, you know?
It does. And you never want to negate when someone says, I want to lose 5 pounds, 15 pounds,
right.
or 100 pounds.
Right.
It's what matters to you and where your health goals are. And for you, your health goal is 15 pounds.
Right.
To reduce cholesterol,
yep.
although your cholesterol, you have reduced
I have.
It through
it's
your
good.
Diet.
Yeah, I'm good.
Right.
And well, so I could be better, though. Yep.
So all of these things are your own personal goals. So
yes.
never negate that it's only 15 pounds because 15 pounds feels like a lot when it's your goal that you can obtain.
It does.
But not to lose hope, not to get discouraged because we all hit plateaus. We do that all the time where you kind of hit a plateau and then it doesn't go down further for a little while. It's your body readjusting to the new metabolism rate that you're given it. So allow that plateau because knowing that you're at that plateau, then the slide down is coming.
Come on,
it's
slide down.
Coming.
Come on, slide down. You know, I know we're going to talk about 5 tools today, and I'd like to share as we get started and ask you to add to this list if you can, even though we didn't talk about this in advance, but you've already given me 1 tool for increasing exercise into my daily routine, which is when you said, you know, if you can do an hour a day, great. And if not, do 4 15s, right? That's an awesome tool. That's an awesome tool. So I want to add to that and let's bounce back and forth and see if we can come up with 5 tools to incorporating exercise on an everyday basis. So if you can't do an hour at once, the 4 15s is a good strategy. The other strategy is do what you can. Find an opportunity to do what you can. So today, earlier, I was on a meeting and I was able to walk during the meeting. So,
love
you know,
it.
If you're on a phone call and you can put your earphones in and walk, my next door neighbor literally walks around her property. She's right. an elderly lady, and she doesn't want to get out and about into the city or whatever. And she's got a smallish property, but she literally walks the perimeter of her house and out to the front of the street, and then the perimeter of the house and out to the front of the street. So those two ideas are good. Do you have another idea to add to that?
My favorite idea is to schedule it.
Nice.
You have to schedule it and think about it. So yes. tomorrow morning, I'm going for a walk. I know it. I walk every Monday and Thursday with my headphones.
Yes.
And I talk to my best friend, one of my best friends who lives, 600 miles away.
Nice.
And it's a routine. Every time, 1 hour a day.
So you schedule it, you put it into...
It's on the calendar.
Yeah, it's on the calendar.
And if I miss it, I better not. I better not.
If you miss it, does she call you and she's like, hey, where were you?
Yeah, because it's at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I
mean, 6 o'clock in the morning.
So every Monday and either Wednesday or Thursday, it depends on schedules, we have this plan that we know we're going to walk. And it keeps me connected. It keeps me emotionally well because we get on the phone and we can rant about kids. We can rant about the house. We can rant about politics.
Right.
We can say whatever we want. And know that it's a safe space.
It's a safe space.
And I'm getting my exercise.
And you're
getting,
getting your mental exercise.
Health and my physical.
Yeah.
So
I gotta try that. I got not just the scheduling part, but the just the downtime phone call. You know, like it's so weird. Like I can do business calls. This is really weird. This is weird what I'm about to say. I don't know what it's about. I can do all kinds of business stuff while I'm on the go, but if I'm talking to a friend, I have to be immobile.
Oh,
I want to try something with that. Yeah. Like,
see, and I'm completely
opposite. That sounds
weird.
You're opposite.
I get fidgety.
Yeah.
So I put those headphones on and I'll, like, even when my kids call me, half the time I'm cleaning house.
Yeah.
I just put them in my ears and, you know, you have to remember to not turn on the blender or the vacuum.
Right.
Right. Because otherwise they're like, what are you doing? But
right.
I do that with my kids all the time. And then that way we have time to chat. We have time to talk. And I'm still getting things done.
Love it. I love it. Well, then it's my turn. And I think I've got one idea, which is I already said do what you can, right? Like walking during a business meeting,
yeah.
easy for me to do. Walking during a phone call, easy for you to do with a friend phone call.
Yeah.
And scheduling it. I love that. I also want our listeners to think about use what you have.
Definitely.
Right. Use your own body to do stuff. So, or things that are on hand. Like some people would say, well, I don't have a weight set. I don't have a Bowflex. I don't have either of those things either. Well, I do have a weight set, but it's a 2 pound.
Right.
A 3 pound and a 5 pound. I don't have like a big weight bench. I've got little weights. But you know what? Cans of soup work just fine.
Absolutely.
For things like
or
that.
Or learning how to do push-ups. Stand against your cabinet and push yourself up and back.
Yes.
Right? It's doing easy push-ups. You could do that while you're making your coffee. You're waiting for the water to boil. Throw out 10 sets. How about those burpees? I'm so bad at burpees.
Do you do them? I'm so bad at them. Although you did do something with me the other day, and I'd love to make this one be number 5 if we could. So use what you have, but then use your own body. And you showed me some yoga moves that were... amazing. Yoga is a use what you can, but use your own body to do it.
It's resistance, right? Because you're, instead of weights, when you're doing certain yoga positions, you're actually holding up yourself. So you are
the own weight. You are the weight.
And that's the nice thing about the push-ups against a counter or even a wall.
Yeah.
You're really using your upper body strength, and the resistance is the weight of your body.
Well, and I'd like to add a bonus tip on this one, because I know I was in a video conference with you recently, and I noted that you were in a position that was technically some kind of a yoga type thing. I don't know what it was, but I asked you straight up, I said, are you in a shoulder stretch position? And you said, yes. And I thought that was pretty cool. Like, you don't just tell people what to do. You put your money where your mouth is.
Well, and your body's telling you what you need to do. Because if you're in a long meeting, your shoulders are slumped. And I don't know about you, but I carry all my stress in my shoulders.
Yeah.
And so if I'm tense or uptight, I'll notice that my shoulders are all the way up to my ears.
Yeah.
Or hunching forward, that's one thing as women that we do way too much,
right?
Where we bring our shoulders forward.
Yes.
So all that is opening my chest, holding my elbows behind my back.
Yes.
And think about that. It just stretches your whole chest, your shoulders, and it brings your ears down. Or not your ears.
Brings your shoulders down.
Away from your ears.
Brings your shoulders down away from your ears. Well, I love it. Let's talk about some other five things. Those were six, actually. And I love that we went through those six because we got that little bonus in there. Maybe we'll get some bonus in these others as well. But, you know, what are some menu items that you rotate through your kitchen on a fairly regular basis?
You're so smart to even ask that question. Right now, I'm in transition, right? Because I've gone from soups, winter soups, chili, stews, and this is all non-meat, non-animals.
Right, of course, yeah.
Soups, chilies,
whole
and stews.
Whole food, plant-based, girl.
Right, because we're looking at summer. So I guess one of my tips for food is trying to buy seasonal because we know it's fresher.
Right.
It's going to be more local, so you're going to have a lot more of the vegetables that are carrying their full potential for vitamins and nutrients. So right now, my go-tos are much lighter fares, like a lot of salads.
Yeah, me too.
And I put everything in a salad. I mean, I'm not picky. I'll have a salad with artichoke hearts and orange slices.
Orange
slices? Or apples or pears. Delicious grapes. Grapes are wonderful. And you know, you can marinate red grapes in red wine vinegar to give you more acidity to your salad if you want it.
Nice.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Strawberries, blueberries in salads. I just love all of the fresh fruits and vegetables. Another meal for me during summertime is zucchini.
Uh-huh.
I make zoo noodles.
Zoodles,
where you turn the zucchini into noodles. And then a lot of vibrant mushrooms, tomatoes, bell peppers, greenery, spinach. Love fresh spinach pasta.
I tried to grow spinach.
I'm doing really well.
You're doing good. My
spinach
bolted.
Spinach my spinach is happy, but I'm in a colder neighborhood.
It's so my spinach didn't like it where I put it, I guess. And it just, I haven't yanked it out of the ground. I feel bad. I feel like I can't just pull it. Will it reseed itself?
It could,
It could.
Absolutely. But you have so much hay covering yours to protect it from erosion. And
so it might not work.
But.
Okay, so you're in transition from soups and chilies down to things like salads and zoodles and
local
all kinds of
foods.
I love it. I'd like to share with you a couple things that I can't transition away from burritos. I am
in love with
pinto beans.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm a burrito girl.
Well, and the burritos are so easy. You can take them on the go.
Yep.
They're great foods for kids.
Yes.
Kids love burritos.
They do. Yeah.
They really do. They don't have to have cheese in them, you guys. You can add burritos and maybe a little bit of brown rice.
Red bell peppers. Avocados on the side. Salsa. Yeah.
Oh, I love
onions.
Salsa. I love cabbage in burritos.
Me too. That's the
red
best.
Red and green cabbage.
Yeah.
And you know, cabbage is really good for improving your immune system and reducing cancer cells from growth. So,
love it. All the cruciferous veggies are really anti-cancerous, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love to know that. It's crazy because I like to have all those fresh veggies, cabbage especially, the red cabbage and the green cabbage in my burritos, but I also like to batch cook burritos. So if I'm batch cooking, I can't put the fresh stuff in because then it gets kind of slimy in the freezer, and that's the whole idea,
right? Yeah, but then you could do a bring them out. So your burrito is just beans and rice and you freeze them, correct?
Right, you're batch cooking.
So bring them out, heat them up, and then put a salad on top with salsa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yum.
Yes, yes. You know what? I have a totally off-the-wall question to ask you. Here we go. Do you have a convection oven setting on your oven?
I have it on my air fryer.
So you can convection on your air fryer.
Which is pretty cool.
Right.
It really is pretty cool, but I have to admit, I use the air fryer most of the time. And the tool that I have is a air fryer and a toaster. My toaster gave up the ghost.
Yeah.
And so I had to get a new one.
So you bought one that was an air fryer toaster.
Air fryer, toaster, convection oven.
Cool.
And you know, it wasn't expensive.
What is it, like a little Cuisinart thingy or something? That's awesome.
Only, I think I want to say it was probably only $50 to $60.
Oh my gosh.
Really, truly, considering it does everything. And
right.
I don't have to heat up the oven, although I like heating the oven up because our house is chilly.
And we live in a place where there's an electric cooperative and the energy here is pretty inexpensive.
It is inexpensive.
It's very inexpensive.
It is.
Well,
we're lucky.
I was curious about convection ovens because my oven has a convection setting, which I've never used.
Love it. You know, you could use it as an air fryer too. All it is heat and air circulating all around.
I got to try it. I've never tried it.
Oh, you'll like it.
I can't wait.
Do your burritos in there.
I'm going to try that.
You have crunchy burritos without deep frying them.
I love it. Well, yeah, I would never fry it or deep fry a burrito.
Oh, I know, but.
But yeah, I get it. I totally get it. That's awesome. So convection oven is going to be fun. So burritos is something I'm really big on. And then, like you, I'm into chilies and soups.
Oh, I love chilies.
I never stop making those. I make those things year-round, you know?
I should, too, because they're so healthy for you. And I do. It's just not my go-to.
It's not your go-to, yeah.
Unfortunately. I've been making meatballs and hamburgers, of all things. I made my own hamburger recipe.
So good. They were so good.
They're
I got
good.
To have those. They were super good. Lentils,
brown tempeh, brown lentils, tempeh, a little bit of oats.
What was your
tomato
binder?
Sauce,
flax.
You don't need much because between the tempeh and the lentils, there was enough moisture
that it held it all together.
Right,
it was so good.
They were good. They were good. I need to make them again.
When you make those, do you batch cook them?
And then
and you can freeze those, right?
Oh, they're so easy to freeze.
So do you cook them first? Let's just say the burgers, for example. You make your burger patties. Do you cook them? Do you air fry them?
I do, just so that they look kind of like
brownish,
they've
right?
been put on a barbecue.
Right.
Yeah, and there you have to remember that when you cook whole food plant-based, you get to taste as you cook.
Right, yeah.
And that's the one thing most people can't get their brain around. So here I am making these hamburgers with lentil and tempeh and tomato sauce, a little bit of oats,
so
seasoning.
They were so good.
And then I taste as before I cook them to make sure they're the flavor I want because, hello.
Right.
No animal product, nothing that would
contaminate
it.
There's nothing going to get you sick. That's right.
It's pretty fun. I like doing that.
It's super fun. The other thing I love to make, and I know this is more than five, is pastas. I'm really in love with pastas.
Me too.
And I never, ever in my whole life tried a whole wheat pasta till I met you.
Oh, they're delicious.
Well, they totally are. And yeah. I was a little skeptical at first, you know. And like I've said before, and I'll say this again, I'm speaking for everyone, all of our listeners, whether they're whole food plant-based eaters or whether they've never tried anything like this ever.
Or just curious.
They're plant curious. I was pretty plant curious and whole food plant-based curious. And so I'd love it if you would talk about why whole wheat versus white pasta? What's the difference between whole wheat and, well, I mean, I know what I've learned about it.
No. But it's a really good question, actually, because people are like, why can't I just have regular pasta? You can, by the way.
You can.
I mean, we're not dictators.
Right.
Telling you what you have to eat, but for your health, you're going to get more nutrition. One out of whole wheat because it comes with all the fiber, it comes with all the nutrients, the phytonutrients, it comes with everything.
Right.
Because if you get a box of pasta, whether it's noodles or the long spaghetti pasta,
or penne,
look
or
at
whatever.
The label.
Yeah. Yep.
The ingredients are wheat and water.
That's it. On whole wheat.
100% whole wheat.
Yep.
So you've got everything in there. And then it's not just the nutrient value that I want you to remember. It's the fact that your blood sugar is not going to spike and not going to drop because you've got all that fiber. So your body digests it slower and you don't get a rush of sugar into your bloodstream. White rice, white pasta, all these things break down very rapidly into glucose, immediately passes into your bloodstream, and then your body has to figure out what to do with it.
Right, and then people call that carb loading, don't they? They're like, I'm going to carb load because I'm getting ready for a big run or whatever.
But if you're going to get carb load for a big run, I want you to do whole wheat.
Whole wheat, that's right, because it's got more staying power, whole grain. So what I've learned to do now when I make my pastas, I make my burritos, I make my burrito shells, I don't buy white flour burritos anymore, flour burrito shells. I always buy the whole grain, whole wheat, and I love them. And I always feel better when I'm eating them because I feel like I'm serving my health and nutrition goals. So all those things are good. And I love those fives. So soups and chilies and burritos, zucchinis and zoodles are so good.
They're so fun.
And I know we talk about this, but you know, it's worth repeating every single show. And that is this. You don't have to cook anything in oil. You can saute everything in vegetable broth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing. So mushrooms and salads. I made a salad this week, a chop salad that was just unbelievable. And I've learned to make my own salad dressings. And I want to share with the listeners a very short version of what's in the salad dressing. It is soaked cashews, yogurt that is coconut milk yogurt. So it's unsweetened, plain coconut yogurt, tahini, miso, and spices.
Yum.
And then the two things that give it a lot of flavor, the vinegary tart flavor.
Yep.
This is unbelievable what I'm about to say. Ready?
I'm ready.
Cocktail onions.
Oh!
And a little bit of its juice, right? And whole, not whole, but green olives, like cocktail olives.
Right.
So the green olives that are sitting in the juice. So I use a little bit of the juice and the onions and the olives. And it's the perfect saltiness. It's the perfect tartness. It's the perfect balance. It's Gary ate it the other day. He's like, this tastes like cheese to me.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was great. I mean, we went through it too fast.
And if you think about it, you're hitting all those different taste
flavor bits. Things. Yeah.
Right, the flavor. So you've got your salty, the cashews have a tiny bit of sweet.
Yeah.
Right. So
umami,
salty, sour.
Yeah. Astringent, the bitter, the whole bit.
Nice.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. Okay, so those things, I love those five foods, the five, you know, some five menu items, and I think there was more than five on that, but let's talk about five tips and tricks for a whole food plant-based pantry. You want to talk a little
pantry.
Bit about that
oh,
for
that's
your pantry?
So fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we just discussed one of the biggest ones
is
the whole wheat pasta.
Yeah, big
right?
deal, yes.
It's good for you, it's low calorie, really has the carbs that nurture your body instead of harm your body. So that's one of the things that I always have on hand. The other is an assortment of beans.
Mm-hmm.
Lentils are really cool beans.
Yeah.
I mean, they're high protein, high fiber, full of nutrients, and they come in all kinds of colors.
Right. I've seen yellow, brown, red, and green, although I have a really hard time getting brown lentils. What is up with that?
Yeah, I think it's right now. It's
right,
a tough
one. That must
red
be what it
lentils
is.
Are also really fun because you can add them to soups, and stews, and they cook really, really fast.
Super fast, yeah. I've
but
overcooked those on occasion.
But they also have that beautiful color.
They do.
And when we go back to why do we care that something has a beautiful color?
Well, because it has higher antioxidant level.
Exactly.
And it's pleasing to the eye,
right? But it's good for you. It's like
good
all
for
those
you.
Red tomatoes.
Yeah.
All of those red vegetables are so good for you.
God, red bell peppers. I love them so much.
Wonderful.
Just raw. Oh, with a little,
me too.
With a little bit of hummus. Oh.
love
right?
it. Love it. So beans.
Beans, okay.
Whole grains, rice.
Yes.
You know, there's an assortment of them. Millet, which I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of millet.
I'm not either.
It's in a recipe.
I mean,
feel
I
like
have
I'm a bird.
Some. I know. I have some and I'm always like, oh, what am I going to do with the millet? You know?
The first time I bought millet, I was like, wait a minute, this looks like what
birdseed.
It is
what parakeets eat. Well, hey, man, if oats are what horses eat, you know, then we eat what parrots and parakeets and horses eat, right?
And I have about 5 pounds of oatmeal in my cabinet.
Nice. That's one of the pantry
beans,
staples.
Rice, right?
Yep.
Whole grains, oats.
Yes.
For breakfast, you can put them in, you know, vegan meatloaf.
Yep.
You can put them in vegan meatballs.
Yep.
I mean, oats are wonderful. Our favorite cookie, banana, oatmeal, and peanut butter.
That's
hello.
It.
Hello.
Right. So, so good.
Delicious and good for you. Nothing that's going to harm you in there.
That's right.
So, and then I always have canned tomatoes in
non-BPA. Yeah.
BPA.
Yeah.
Cans.
Yes.
Always have them because I can put them in with my, you know, make a tomato sauce for the pasta. I can put them in with beans.
Can
chilies.
Make them into a salsa. Yeah. You can do anything with them. I love all those things. A couple other things to round out the pantry list that I keep in there. Whole wheat flour. I always have some whole wheat sprouted pastry flour in there to make other things with. But chia seeds and flax seeds are always in my pantry, although sometimes I keep those in the freezer.
I keep them in the freezer if I grind them.
Do you grind every day or do you?
No, I have a small jar. So what I do is I mix flax seed, chia seeds, and hemp.
Yep.
Grind them up, put them in a little half quart jar, I guess.
And keep it
and
in
then
the freezer.
Keep it in the freezer. And
they
that's
stay
what I,
better longer?
Yep. And the oil stays stable. It doesn't go rancid.
Oh, God.
And that's what I put on my oatmeal
every day
for omega-3s.
Yep. Okay, cool. So flax seeds and chia seeds and hemp. Yep. I didn't mix the hemp into those
in
the past.
Well, I like hemp because it's nutty.
I know. It's so good. It adds a
texture.
Creamy texture and a flavor that's just unbelievably good. The other thing I keep in my pantry, two other things that are kind of staples, and they are my sugars, you know. One is a coconut sugar, so I keep coconut sugar in there, and maple syrup.
Well, I was going to say, I use maple syrup.
Yeah.
For most recipes.
Yeah, I do too. Gary likes the granulated sugar for his coffee. I've tried to get him to do maple syrup in his coffee. He's not into it.
Granulated sugar.
Dang.
My kids gave it to me for my birthday.
Oh, that's your kids know exactly what to get you. That's so cool.
It's pretty funny. A lot of times my presents are a box of Whole Foods that I can't get here.
That's awesome.
I'll open it up and they'll be like, granulated sugar, maple syrup.
I love it.
It's pretty sweet.
It is sweet. I love when people think about presents. You know, I'm not a very good present giver. I've never really been the kind of person that's just really good at presents. But my daughter Kay is unbelievable at giving presents. She gives the best gifts. They always come with a lot of thought and a lot of heart, and I really appreciate that. Well, those are good pantry tips. I'm trying to think of one other tip that I'd like to offer, and that is about the oatmeal, for example. Yeah. You said you have 5 pounds on. I have found a resource, and I would encourage our listeners to find a resource where you can buy things like oatmeal, like your organic beans, any of those things in bulk, and then you can break it down. So recently, I got a 25-pound bag of oatmeal. Which sounds like a lot until I broke it down into these 5-pound boxes. So, you know, those, I hate to buy spinach in those big plastic boxes, but unfortunately that's how it comes unless I grow my own and my won't grow. So I broke it down into those 5-pound boxes and I discovered we go through about 5 pounds of oatmeal a month.
Okay.
That's a lot of oatmeal, I think, in a month, but Gary likes a lot of oatmeal.
Well, most mornings, that's my go-to.
Yeah,
I mean, it's either going to be that or peanut butter toast with banana.
Oh, yeah.
Or avocado toast.
Yes. Is peanut butter a regular staple in your pantry?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it is in ours too. And but what about...
Be careful how much you use.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, as much as I love peanut butter, it's a very high calorie because it's got a lot of fat because it's a nut.
Yeah.
So certain things I measure out. Because it's too easy to just keep going.
You wing it. Yeah. I have a feeling that's, you know, part of my thing is like I don't really carefully measure out my peanut butter. And I don't carefully measure out when I make that cashew dressing that I mentioned earlier. I mean, I could gobble it down. It's so good.
The cashews add so much.
Yeah.
Texture, taste, and calories.
Oh, and then the olives and the onions in there too. Yeah. Just like, you gotta be kidding.
Well, the onions are, and even the olives, you won't get that many calories out of them. But if you're worried about your weight and your heart health, really be cautious about the nuts. And I'm not saying don't eat them because nuts are wonderful protein.
Yeah.
They come with a lot of vitamins and nutrients. Measure them though. How many walnuts does it take for one serving?
Like a little handful. Yeah.
Not even a handful.
Get the measuring cup out.
Let's see how big your palm is.
Yeah. Right.
You know, just a little bit is a serving. So that's the only time I ever tell people to watch the number of calories is one, when they want to lose weight or they want to help with their heart.
I'm going
to
double down
to make
down
sure
on
they
that.
Don't do that. Bring out a measuring cup for a while and just get an idea of what a serving is.
Yes.
So if you want to say, I'm going to have a serving of avocado, I'm going to have it, please. You need some fat. It's good for your brain. You're getting the best fat you can that comes with fibers and nutrients, right? Because animal fat has no fiber and no nutrient other than fat. Nuts come packed with all kinds of healing nutrients as well
as fiber. They're so good. They are so good.
But measure them. Okay. Know how much a serving is.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. And I know that's helpful for our listeners too. I think one last thing I'd like to share on the pantry strategies is I own a restaurant company and we're always talking about FIFO, right? F-I-F-O. And that stands for first in, first out. So it sounds like you don't have to do this kind of stuff, but you do. You have to rotate your stock. So if you go to the grocery store and if you buy a whole bunch, you know, sometimes I'll go to the grocery store and I'll find canned beans for 99 cents for an organic can of pinto beans, which I adore. And they've got the chili sauce right in them. I'm like, oh, heck to the yes, I'm going to get 10 of those cans. But if I put them in front of everything else, then the cans that I might still have in there might only be one or two. But first in, first out. Yeah. So stock rotation is really important.
Very. And taking a list of what's in your pantry. I mean, if you're blessed enough to have a big pantry, you know, an actual little area that you can put all your food, know what's in there, because I know that I have a tendency to be a tad bit of a hoarder.
A food hoarder or a hoarder in general? I'm just curious.
Just food.
Yeah, me too.
So, and if something's on sale, I'm like, Bring it. Because I'm also frugal. So I love sales, but you have to know, are you going to use it?
Right.
And are you going to be able to use it in the time that it's still good?
Yeah, I know. I recently bought a hemp tofu. And I think I mentioned it to you.
I was like,
I didn't really care for it. And I had bought two packages at the same time. So the other one, I kept meaning to give it to you. So every time I saw you, I was like, oh, I'll give that to Sherry. And I forgot. So I don't know, about a week ago, I was like, oh, here's that hemp tofu. And I opened it. It was like, oh, dude, man, it was so bad. It was rancid. It went out to the compost.
Oh, good. I'll bet you the worms loved it.
They did. It was really weird. Yeah. Like, I put it in the compost and I kind of left it on top. I didn't bury it. And the next day I went out and it was substantially different looking. I couldn't believe how fast
and
they got after it.
If you turn over the tofu, you'd see these worms just.
They're loving it. Well, and that soil is so good. I love it. You know, when I use it in my garden, even my garden where my spinach won't grow.
And you're reducing the trash impact in the environment. So composting is a really cool thing you can do if you have a yard.
Yeah, it is a really cool thing. And growing. I mean, I know we've talked about that and we won't make that the subject of this show, but growing anything, whether it's food or flowers that support bees and butterflies, you know, whatever it is that we can do. You know, I'm totally going to shift gears right here for a second and say, what are five things we can do as whole food plant-based people that are supportive of the earth in general? I mean, well, growing your own garden is one of them, right?
Not eating meat and dairy is huge for our environment, right? We already know that.
We do.
Cattle emissions are higher than car emissions.
Yeah.
And people don't want to hear about that, but it's true.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It takes so much energy, and the pollution is so much from raising cattle.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a person kind of approach me recently, and they knew that I'm a whole food, plant-based person, and I don't eat any animal products, and they were talking about slaughter, and they were talking about pig farms specifically, and then they started graphically describing the blood pools.
Oh, I know.
And you have to think about it.
Horrible.
Where do all those products go? The blood, the urine, the feces, all of that stuff has to go somewhere.
It either goes in our rivers or it goes in the ocean. And I know that there's a huge issue back south with raising pigs and that area. They were actually, I think they're still doing it, where they actually get a sprinkler and spray it onto fields. And unfortunately, it's not isolated. There are people that live near there. It's a huge issue. I think it's in the documentary Vegan.
That is so gross. Okay, well, I don't want to go down that path, even though I really want to go down that
path. Let's go more positive.
So more positive.
Let's be positive for now. People need positive, I think.
So more things that you can do to support the earth as a whole food plant-based person. I know it sounds a little crazy. But composting is a great thing to do. Not destroying or disturbing soil is a good thing to do, right? Like leaving the ecosystem of the soil alone.
As much as you can. Absolutely.
So I have heard that when you till up the soil, you're kind of disturbing it in a bad way. Like there's a better thing to do, which is just to plant in the undisturbed soil. So you're not dealing with the, what is that layer called? The mycelium, right?
Which is similar to what we have in our gut. The problem is, if you live in a community like ours, I mean, where I live, it's clay.
Right.
And you really do have to break the soil up. So it's knowing where you are and what you need to do to make
the soil
the best.
So it doesn't apply. The same rule doesn't apply across the board. You kind of have to
really,
know
if you
your
want
soil.
A garden, you have to know.
Know your
You're going to have to adapt the soil so that it's best for growing.
It seems like you have to adapt the soil. It's like you have to feed the soil.
You do.
Right. It's about feeding the microbial environment. And growing flowers. I think if we're going to talk about saving the earth, then growing flowers is an important thing to do too, because we feed our bees that way. We feed hummingbirds. We feed our own souls on the beauty.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, we feed ourselves with the beauty of it. But also, so composting.
Yes.
And you don't have to have a giant bin. You can just have a hole.
Yeah.
That you just put.
Right.
Don't add any meat.
Cheese, animal products.
Doesn't belong in the hole. But any of your kitchen leavings. And then it doesn't end up in the trash.
Well, you know what I love to do is to do what you taught me, which is to make my vegetables scraps into a broth, into a soup. So I make it into broth. Then I freeze those. I turn those into cubes and I use those for sauteing. Then, now that they've had a second life, those boiled vegetable scraps then go out into the compost.
Even better.
Right? I mean, it's kind of cool.
It is very cool. So the other thing is try to buy things that aren't in plastic. And I know some of the big markets are trying to get away from it.
Yes.
When you used to go to Trader Joe's, you know, every piece of fruit or vegetable that you would buy was in plastic.
Oh my gosh.
And they're really trying to get away from that.
Love it.
And we can do it.
If
you don't have bags for your produce, reuse the ones so that you use them 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times.
Right.
Keep them in your grocery bag so that you reuse even those vegetable bags.
I keep a little bag hospital in my pantry. This sounds so weird, but I take baggies that I've used. I can't believe I do this, but I can believe I do it. I think it's really critically important. I rinse them. And then I hang them up with clothespins.
Nice.
I know that sounds so crazy.
I do it too.
You do?
I do.
And then you dry them. So you shake them out, get most of the water out. Then you hang them up and you kind of blow a little air into them. So they're like standing there all kind of open. It only takes, you know, a few hours or sometimes overnight or sometimes I let them stay there till I need the baggie again, right?
Yeah. So you're putting less in the trash.
Yeah.
Less plastic.
Yes.
All of those things are such nice ideas and
easy things to do.
If every one of us does
a little bit,
yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad you brought those things up. Let's talk about grocery shopping hacks.
Oh.
Do we have any hacks for grocery shopping? Do you have 5 tips or hacks that can help anybody who's doing whole food plant-based living either make their dollars go longer or their time be more efficient?
Faster.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on grocery?
I think the first one that's going to do both, it's going to make your time in the grocery store faster and it's going to reduce cost, is make a list of what you want.
Yeah, that really sounds so easy, doesn't it?
And
it's so important.
It's so important. So you're not buying things that you're probably not going to use or you're really not going to eat in time.
Yep.
So making a list makes a huge difference. You get what you need for that week. And you don't have to make it a huge list. You can even have a list on your computer that you reprint.
Right.
And you circle what you want or keep it in your phone. These are my favorite things that I know I need every single week.
Right.
And for me, they're all in the produce.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
So plan ahead so that you save money and time. The second thing is to really make sure you're aware of where you're going in the grocery store. So I have certain aisles that I avoid.
The chip aisle, the soda aisle.
You know?
I'm guessing. I don't go down those aisles anymore either. I see them as poison.
Well, really, and they're made to catch your eye, like the cereal aisle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hershey's Kisses is a cereal.
That's
a
so
breakfast
wrong.
Cereal.
Yeah,
you know, Cocoa Pebbles, but any of them, I just stay away from them. Why do you need to even go down there? Because those aisles are set up to draw you in to buy things that you don't want.
Well, you want them, but they don't love you. They don't, they're, you know.
You kind of don't want, I mean, by the time you get them home.
Well, what I mean by you want them is they are marketed to make you want them, right?
Exactly.
So they're attractive.
Pull you in.
Yes.
And then you get them home and you go,
what am I doing?
What was I thinking?
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know where I'm going. I know where the tortilla aisle is.
Yep.
The canned beans aisle.
Yep.
And then I
hit the frozen pastas,
mm-hmm. the frozen vegetable or fruit section.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then I go to the produce. That's it. Unless I have cleaning supplies or something on my grocery list. Really, truly, that's it. And now that summer is coming, our farmers markets are opening up.
Love it.
So I try to go there first.
Yep.
To get the farming, the local farmers and kind of support them and to get my food there. And there's less packaging when you go to the farmers market.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So you're doing a good thing for the environment too.
I love it. So making a list is really an important strategy. And I think you've talked with me before about meal planning and why that, you know, it seems like, well, how does that have to do with shopping? Because
you have to plan what you're Right. Meals are going to be if you're going to shop, right? Right,
yes. And then you buy what you need and what really is going to match with each other.
Right.
Right? So you're buying kind of a structured, strategic ingredient list. Like, think about restaurants, for example. Like, think about my restaurant company, for example. There are all these different ingredients that combine to make 800 different menu items, right? So if you think about it when you go in to the grocery store with a plan, with a list, you get the things that you need. But when you're meal planning, you meal plan stuff that's different enough but can share ingredients so that when you're meal prepping, right, if you take a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon and you're prepping out, I mean, if you think about it, you walk into a restaurant, what do you find in their walk-in? You find chopped vegetables. You find grated products, right? Things are cut, they're diced, prepped, chopped, cut, ready to go. It's not that they sit down when you come in and order something that has red bell peppers. Oh, well, let's cut up some red bell peppers. That doesn't happen, you know, unless you're going to French Laundry where it's $500 a plate. Maybe that does happen, but that's one of the great things. What are some other strategies for shopping? I know you've talked about budget, making the budget go by watching for things in season and on sale.
And your budget, knowing your budget.
And knowing your budget. And what about, this is kind of an unusual one, but what about using rewards programs? Do you use those kind of things?
You know, I don't have a habit of using them very well, only because the ones you get rewards for are usually the promotions.
Yeah.
And they're the foods that are a lot of money behind them. So most of the time, the coupons and whatnot, I never buy anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be tricked into getting a coupon to buy something that I know isn't good for me.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So I have to admit I'm not good with coupons. And if you think about it, whole food plant-based diet lifestyle is cheaper. It's less expensive. They've done studies that show you're going to spend less money when you're buying whole foods. And I mean, I've never seen a coupon for apples or pears or...
Well, I do use like the grocery store that I shop at, and we live in a tiny town. So there are there two stores,
There must be.
There are two stores. And I go to one of them first because they often have unusual and hard to find products. And I go there first and they don't do any couponing and they don't have any rewards or any kind of a loyalty program or anything. The other store has their own credit card brand.
Okay.
And so I have their credit card and I have their rewards program. And you don't find apples, but they actually very carefully, they have tracked my spending.
And isn't that nice of them?
You know, but they actually send me offers for things that I buy, like organic almond milk. I know you make your own almond milk. I'm not there yet, but they send me the organic unsweetened almond milk. They actually sent us some offers the other day. First of all, in our points alone, we earned $62 in points alone that came right off the top of the grocery list.
Nice.
But then they sent us, here's $1 if you buy any produce. Here's $1 if you buy anything in our Simply Living, something or other. And so dollars and dollars. It turned out the bill went from $109 down to $46.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to encourage people that if the grocery store does offer a loyalty program or something, you're going to spend the money anyway. If it's an opportunity that you could save some money while you're spending, figure out a way to do it.
Well, and figure out how to make it to your benefit, which is what you've done.
Right.
So you're not just going around buying all the specials, even though they're not good food, not healthy food.
Right.
You're buying what you would eat anyway.
Right. Because here's an important strategy in the grocery store that, you know, is one of my hacks. And that is avoid the things in the big bins as you walk in the door, right?
Right.
So this is a really important strategy. Avoid the bins. Avoid the end caps, whether it's an end cap at the end of the aisle or at the beginning of the check stand, and avoid all the central aisles for the most part.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you avoid the grocery store that I go to that has this great loyalty program, the other day I walked in and Gary and I were talking as we walked in about how you got to be on target and on track. And I do carry a list. It's in my phone. I keep it in a digital format.
Nice.
If I change it on my laptop, my desktop, my iPad, or my phone, everything's updated all at the same time.
Nice.
And I love that. And he said something to me about, do you have a list? As I walked in, I was like, dude, please, come on.
So, do I have a list?
Yeah. But what we walked by was bins of Milk Duds and Milky Ways and popcorn and chips. And it was super cheaply priced, like a dollar a box for these huge movie-sized boxes of candy. And I said to Gary, I go, people don't stand a chance.
They don't. You really have to
have to be intentional.
And you know, one thing I do, I don't consider it food.
I don't either.
I don't even consider it food.
No, it's poison.
Right, yep. Right. It's poison. And a lot of these fast foods, canned foods, processed foods,
yes,
they're poison to your body.
Yeah, that's how your body treats it.
It's poison.
Yep.
So being cautious about it, and if you can change how you think instead of it's a treat, it's a reward,
right.
It's poison. It's going to harm my body and my mind.
Yeah.
Because high sugar, all of those things really affect your mood.
Well, yeah. And then one of the things that they had out there in that display was these big boxes of candy. And then they had, and it looked so beautiful, right? They had all of these, I don't know what they're called, but they're little tubes of sugar water that you throw in the freezer and then you bite off the end and
slurp
out the
popsicle,
right?
Basically, it's just high fruit syrup flavoring.
And food coloring.
Yeah.
And they were red, and orange, and yellow, and green, and blue, and purple. They were so pretty. I mean, they're really attractive.
Sure.
And you know every kid walks by and goes, Mommy, I want!
Right.
And I want to come back as we're getting ready to wrap up to something you said at the very beginning of the show, which was, you know, if you give your body sugar every day, your body begins to see it as a reward, right? You don't think of it as poison. But do you think of cocaine as poison?
Yeah.
Do you think of heroin as poison?
I do.
And my question is, for that momentary pleasure that people get from cocaine, from heroin,
crack,
from whatever, from crack, from these drugs, that is a momentary pleasure, just like sugar is a momentary pleasure. And what we have to do in, as you said earlier, have resolve. We have to be intentional.
Reframe your thought process.
Yes. Reframe your thinking. Know that it is a poison in your body.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. I have goosebumps. Look at these goosebumps on my thigh. I mean, they're like all the way down to my ankle.
But it really does make a difference because then you're not tempted by it.
Right.
Children who have never had Pop-Tarts don't know what the heck a Pop-Tart is.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they don't even know it's good.
Right.
Like my kids were offered Pop-Tarts, this is 100 years ago, and they're like, what the heck is this?
Right.
They didn't even get it. It's like, well, it's kind of sweet bread over jam. What?
Right, and you put it in the toaster, and then it's covered with sugar and sprinkles.
Yeah.
You know, but kids, it comes back to this idea we've talked about many times. Kids eat what they're offered.
And what they know.
So
if you cut it short and then just wean them off of it, you know, just like you have to wean yourself off of caffeine sometimes, wean off of sugar. It's really unhealthy. It's considered a poison.
Yep.
So anyway, on that happy note.
On that happy note, thank you for visiting with us today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. Sherry Carey Baum, registered nurse, Master of Science in Nursing, and Misty Young, your hosts here today. We're glad you joined us. Coming to you from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We're glad that you let us be part of your day. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you again here soon. Thanks
Bye-bye.
Again. Bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.